Arthritis in your dog or your cat can really affect its quality of life. Larry Mueller here, our guest today. Dr. Kerry Donahue owns and founded Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care, located in Madison on Monroe Street, if I'm not mistaken. And she provides an option for holistic and alternative care in addition to basic conventional veterinary services, which, of course, she also does. You may have some questions for her about your pet's health. I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can send us an email at talk@wpr.org or go ahead and post on our Facebook page. It's called The Larry Mueller Show, and love to hear from you. Dr. Kerry Donahue, welcome back.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here today.
How can you tell if your pet has arthritis?
Arthritis usually presents, and it can be in a variety of different ways, and it can show up in a variety of different joints in the animal. So it can be along the back, it can be in the elbow, it can be in the hip. Really any joint arthritis can show up, and it can show up in more than one place too. But oftentimes you see, especially in older dogs and cats, hesitancy or difficulty jumping or going up the stairs or even getting up from lying down. That's a very common thing to see.
So it could be many areas of the body that are vulnerable. How do you know for sure you're dealing with it? Do you need to come see you or somebody like you to?
Yeah, it's always a good idea to take, if you notice that your animal is acting stiff or lame or limping or anything like that, to take them into the veterinarian and have an exam done and see, possibly having x-rays taken. And x-rays show if there is arthritis in the joint. So then you have more of a definitive diagnosis and you know what you're dealing with.
So what about, and cats and dogs kind of the same, they present about the same, and so it's, what about traditional treatment options then? What can we do holistically?
Right, yeah. And in traditional conventional medicine, I find that it can be very limited. So oftentimes conventional veterinary medicine promotes giving pain medications, giving anti-inflammatory or aspirin-type medications, or even morphine-like pain type of pharmaceuticals to help with the pain and inflammation associated with arthritis. And those can really help. They can make an animal feel better, but in my opinion, not always the best for a long term, because those medications can have side effects on different organ systems as your animal gets older. So you don't want to compromise anything just to make them feel better in the shorter term. So there are lots of things that we can do in holistic and natural medicine to make animals feel better and get over the pain and get over the inflammation and move better when they do have arthritis. And one of the most important things and the first step that I often recommend to clients is feeding your animal a grain-free diet. Mm-hmm. So making sure that there's no corn, there's no wheat, there's no soy in the food that you're feeding, because those grains can be inflammatory in the body. So they can promote inflammation and they can contribute to arthritis pain.
So what about acupuncture or things like that for you?
Oh, definitely, definitely. And that's, I usually recommend acupuncture a little bit further down the line. So oftentimes the first step is changing the food, if that's something that needs to be changed, to a grain-free. And the next step that I recommend is adding in a supplement, like a glucosamine chondroitin supplement is always beneficial for dogs and cats that have arthritis. And omega-3 fatty acids, fish oil, you can do salmon oil, you can do krill oil, you can either even do flaxseed oil. Those are good for any inflammation in the body. Getting those on board and seeing how your animal responds. And if you still need additional support, that's when I turn to acupuncture, Chinese medicine, acupressure, massage, those sorts of things.
And you do those sorts of things, do you?
I do. And I have great success using those for animals.
Dr. Kerry Donahue, our guest again, you can join in with your questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. What does acupuncture actually do in a situation like that for, you know, when it's pretty hard?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, in Chinese medicine, that theory is that any pain in the body is caused by a stagnation or a blockage of the free flow of energy, which is called qi, in the body. So if there is a stagnation or a blockage, if we can remove that blockage, we can promote the free flow of energy and make the animal move and feel better. So by putting needles in specific points, we're kind of going in and unblocking the energy flow. So that's kind of the theory behind acupuncture. But, you know, pet owners can learn how to do acupressure, which is very similar, just using their fingers and applying pressure on certain acupuncture points to do the same sort of thing. And even massage. If you massage down your animal's back or down its legs, you don't need to be specifically trained in massage to just kind of make an animal feel better and move the tissue, which improves the blood flow, improves that energy flow, improves lymphatic flow, and all of that leads to decreased inflammation.
Oh, wonderful. Well, Barbara in Milwaukee has a question for you, so let's go there. Barbara, hi. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Thank you for taking my call.
What can we do for you?
Okay. I have a dog, a 12-year-old Pomeranian, who after he's got herniated discs, he's got arthritis. He also, they say he has syringomyelia. However, a vet in New York said that a lot of his patients with that aren't affected. But he walks with his legs crossed in the front. His neck is down. His head is down. He's in pain. I have been prescribed the tramadol and the there's another one that's the narcotic, I guess. And I'm reluctant to give that to him. But I just don't know what to do. Now, I heard what you just said. The grain-free, basically, he gets a... I switch from kibble to a more meat diet with a little bit of kibble that is actually fish in it mostly. But I believe it's a grain-free one. Now, as far as the glucosamine and the omega-3, there's just so many different ones out there. I don't know which ones to get. You know, and so that's one of my questions. And as far as the, I've tried acupuncture one time; it helped him a lot. The second time, not so much. So I'm interested in hearing more about the acupressure and the massage, and also what you know. I also surgically wish he could be fixed, at least the herniations, but they're reluctant to do it because he's got a heart murmur and the syringomyelia, but. I just have such a gut feeling. Just get them fixed, you know?
Yeah. Well, what about glucosamine? Are there ones that you recommend?
Yes. Yeah, and that's such an issue, even with human supplements now, is, you know, you buy something off the shelf and you just are not 100% sure about the quality of the ingredients, if everything is in there that is written on the label. So that's why there are specific supplements that I use from brands that I trust. And I do believe if you go through a veterinarian's office, they're going to give you the higher quality supplements than you might be able to get just off the shelf at a pet store. So the glucosamine chondroitin supplements that I use most often, one of them is called GlycoFlex, and it's by the company VetraScience. And GlycoFlex is nice because it has glucosamine in it, it has chondroitin, but it also has some different anti-inflammatory herbs in it. It has boswellia and it has curcumin in it. So some other supplements that also help with arthritis.
Did you say glucoflex?
It's called GlycoFlex, GlycoFlex. GlycoFlex is great. Yeah, there's another one that's called Sound Dog Viscosity, and that is made by a company called Herbsmith, which is actually based in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. So it's a more of a local company, but they make a very nice glucosamine chondroitin supplement as well.
And what's it called again? I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Sound Dog Viscosity.
Dog Viscosity.
Sound Dog Viscosity.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you, I can write that on Larry's Facebook page later on today,
too. Oh, that would be great.
I'd appreciate some of the supplements that I talk about. Definitely.
Thank you very much.
And then what about, Barbara mentioned acupressure and massage.
Yes, Yeah. So, and that might be the next thing going forward for you, is trying to learn some acupressure points. There is a great book that is called AcuDog, and there's one for cats called AcuCat, ACU-dog or cat. And those are very helpful in explaining where the acupressure points are, kind of the theory behind Chinese medicine and how all of that works, and things that you can do for specific conditions in your animals. So a really great resource.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And we'll turn to Ann in Green Bay next. Hi, Ann. Thank you for calling.
Hello. Well, actually, both my dogs are having an issue right now. I have a shepherd husky mix that every 6 months she gets an anal gland that gets out of whack and has to be, you know, drained.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering if there's something you can do to prevent that. And then my other husky had a little tiff at the dog park over a mouse the other day, and he's got actually a puncture in one of his pads. And I'm just wondering, will that actually heal? I mean, I've been doing peroxide on it and Neosporin, but I'm just wondering, is that something that will actually eventually heal, or is that just going to be a permanent wound?
Boy, have you taken him in to have that examined yet, the puncture wound?
No, I haven't.
Okay, it might be a good idea, because with those puncture wounds, you never really know how deep it is. It could be just under the surface, or it could go a lot deeper than you think. And if it goes deeper, then it can cause an abscess deeper in the tissue. So in that case, it might not heal up on its own. So it's always a good idea to have that, take your dog in and have that kind of fleshed out and check to see how deep it actually goes.
Mm-hmm. In terms of the anal glands?
Yeah, with anal gland issues, do you ever add in any sort of high-fiber supplement like canned pumpkin or a sweet potato in with the food?
I do that when she has the diarrhea, but I don't make a habit of that. Is that something I should do?
That is something that you could do every single day. And you can change it up. Good. Really, any root vegetable is helpful in adding extra fiber into the diet. So you could do canned pumpkin. You could do sweet potato. You could do turnip. You could even do psyllium husk and just kind of rotate it like that. But I would do it every day.
Okay. Are carrots okay? Because she likes carrots.
Yeah, carrots are great, too. Okay. Carrots are a little bit higher in sugar, so I wouldn't say every day. You know, maybe once a week for the carrots.
Okay. All right.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And on to Margaret in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Hi, Margaret.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
Well, this also relates to arthritis, but I got a problem.
We lost her, but I have some information on it. Malik was helpful here, our on-air producer. The dog has a chronic ear infection.
Yeah, with the chronic ear infections in dogs, oftentimes those can be tied in with maybe not a food allergy, but at food hypersensitivity. So it's always a good idea with dogs that have those chronic ear infections to get them on a grain-free diet, a limited ingredient diet. I would get your dog on a type of protein that he or she might have never had before. So getting them off chicken and getting them off beef, which are the most common allergens in dog foods. So that can go a long way in potentially clearing up those ear infections.
So give that a try, and thanks a lot for calling. I'm sorry we lost you there. Dr. Carrie Donahue, our guest today, she owns and founded Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care in Madison. Our guest, as we talk with her about treating arthritis and a whole lot of other things holistically. I'm Larry Mueller. Malik Anderson, our on-air producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up at 2 o'clock today, Kathleen Dunn will talk to a sociologist who says that university professors are overwhelmingly liberal and we need to advocate for the hiring of more conservative professors. That's at 2 today. Right now, taking a look at your pet's health with Dr. Carrie Donahue, who uses traditional veterinary medicines, but she also advocates for treating holistically. So it's great to have her along. And again, you can join in. One open line yet at 1-800-642-1234. email us at talk@WPR.org or post a question on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. Charlotte and Lac des Flambeaux up next. Charlotte, hi. Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you. And I treat myself holistically, and I'm looking forward to treating my dog holistically.
Oh, great.
I have a 12-year-old a lab chow mix, and he has arthritis, and I've been treating it with glucosamine, but now I'm going to also add fish oil. Mm-hmm. But I treat it with I feed him with rice and meat. Mm-hmm. Is rice still considered that grain that I should get rid of?
Rice typically is not that bad as far as contributing to arthritis, but I do think there are other things that you could do besides the rice, and maybe choosing a carbohydrate that has more nutritional value than rice does, even just to kind of mix it up here and there. And like I mentioned before, with the higher fiber root vegetables, those are a great starch that can substitute for some of those grains, like the rice, you know, or anything else that you might add in. You could do oatmeal. You could do something like quinoa. Those are pretty safe grains that don't contribute to inflammation like the wheat does for dogs usually.
Okay.
So, yeah, maybe just changing that up and trying some starchy vegetables.
Okay, well, I have another question that is really bothering me, mm-hmm. but it doesn't bother him. He has a big wart about the size of a half dollar on his head.
Ooh.
And I can't get rid of it, and the vet said just let it grow.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if there's anything naturally I could use. I heard about milkweed, and that's about all I've heard.
Oh, okay. How old did you say your dog was?
He's 12.
12. Okay, so probably one of those older dog warts that they do tend to get as they get older. And I kind of see it as, you know, it's that papillomavirus. As their immune systems start to decrease and become not as strong as they get older, then you can see some of those warts pop up. And usually there's not a whole lot that you can do about them. If you have them surgically removed, they typically just pop up again, you know, in a matter of months in a same similar spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is one remedy that some of my clients have had success with, and I always recommend trying it because it's not going to do any harm, and it is the homeopathic remedy called Thuja, and that's spelled T-H-U-J-A. Some people pronounce it Thuja, but that is the homeopathic remedy for warts.
Okay.
So it's worth trying. You can get it. You can get Thuja at health food stores, at co-ops where they have homeopathic remedies.
Okay.
Just get the potency that's called 30C.
30C?
Yep, the letter C.
Okay.
And you can give that 3 times a day, probably for about a week.
Okay.
And if you see that wart start to go down in size, then you know that the remedy is working. If you notice that there isn't any difference, then there's no point in continuing because it's not going to have that effect.
Okay.
But it's worth trying.
Well, thank you so much.
And you take that topic, they eat it or you take it topically?
You get those homeopathic remedies. They come in these little white pellets.
Mm.
And what you can do for animals is just kind of open up their bottom lip and tuck in those pellets because they're meant to be absorbed in the mouth.
Okay.
It's not something that you have to try to get down their throat. It just has to get absorbed through the mucous membranes in the mouth.
Well, that'll be easy.
Yeah, pretty easy. Uh-huh. Tucking it in the lip or even dissolving them in a little bit of water and then having them drink the water. But most animals take those pretty well.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Charlotte.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck. Appreciate your call. Catherine in Oshkosh. We're on to you now. Let's see. There we go. Hi, Catherine.
Hi. So we have 2 German Shepherds. The 5-year-old, so they're both purebred. The 5-year-old has always had skin issues. So we went ahead like 3 years ago and started them in on a raw chicken diet because so we go to a pet spa where they believe in homeopathy and that type of thing and all natural. So we changed to chicken, and so they get chicken, sweet potatoes, pumpkin or yogurt, and blueberries. And then we also put in fish oil, kelp, some enzymes and then vitamin C. Mm. However, the skin problems seem to be staying the same. We had her tested. We had for allergies, and we started with that, and that just kind of fizzed away. Maybe it's just my fault that I did not continue on with that. But now her sister, who is six, I started itching. So now they are on, like I said, this all-natural diet, and we thought maybe they were getting into, like, a variegated grass. So mm-hmm. we dug that up and put it in the front so they can't get to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I bathed them both yesterday. And like I said, the older one is still itching. We thought maybe it was carpet shampoo that we used to clean carpets 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's just like, oh, my gosh, what?
Yeah, yeah.
It's so hard. And yeah, it's so hard to try to figure out what is causing that reaction. So I mean, you're doing everything right that I would recommend to do. A couple of things, you might even bathe more frequently. I mean, when they're itchy, you can bathe them every other day, even every day, just to get anything that they might have gotten on their fur that's working its way through, getting onto their skin and causing a reaction. So just bathing them to get any allergens, any pollens off of them. And really, like what you're already doing, thinking about the carpet cleaner, thinking about anything inside the house that you might be using that could be causing a reaction and getting rid of that. The other thing that I would do, an approach that I have for animals that have allergies, and it doesn't matter whether it's an environmental or a food allergy, is something to boost their immune system. Because animals that have allergies, it means that their immune system is not responding appropriately to something in the environment or something that they're getting in the food. So by helping to moderate and, you know, kind of support their immune system, you can go a long ways in kind of helping their body react to what they're coming into contact with. So there is a supplement, a couple of them that I use to help to moderate the immune system. One of them is called ModuCare, and it's ModuCare, and it is a plant-based sterol. So kind of works like how a steroid would work in the body, which suppresses the immune system, but it doesn't suppress it, it helps to support it. So that would be one thing. The other one that I use is called beta thyme. A similar sort of thing, the plant sterols, and it has thymus gland extract in it.
Mm.
And so that can also be very helpful. So that might be something else that you could think about adding in for them.
Okay. And then, you know, and I'm wondering, because now this, like, so the five-year-old, her ears never went out. So she has these perpetual ear infections. Do you think that is something that's related to that?
Oh, probably. Animals that have environmental or food allergies tend to have the ear issues, too.
Okay. And then, so we would get, because I would use Malicet
mm-hmm.
on the younger one, because she would, like, rub herself raw on the belly. So we utilize that to, like, help dry that, right, scab it up. But then it does a natural oatmeal-based shampoo really help on dogs too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can use just a natural shampoo. Although, what I would recommend is, and one that I use over and over for dogs that have allergies, it's called Zymox, and that's Zymox. And it's an enzyme formula. It's very, very gentle. So it's going to work similar to the Malaceb shampoo that you are using, which is actually a medicated shampoo.
Right.
So it has an antibiotic and it has an antifungal in it. The Zymox shampoo works on using enzymes to destroy bacteria and fungus without causing an imbalance in the skin and without drying it out too much. So that might be something to look for. And you can get that at some of the smaller pet stores, and you can get that online as well.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah,
of course. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, on our Facebook page. Go to the Larry Mueller Show for a questionnaire there. That's the title of our page. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or call on 1-800-642-1234. Let's go to Mike and Phillips next. Hi, Mike.
Hello, and thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
We have a cat that's 16 years old. It's in renal failure and a diabetic, but she also has some serious hip issues, which we firmly believe is arthritis. Is there anything that we could potentially give her that would help that situation?
Boy, do you give her an omega-3 fatty acid supplement right now?
No, we do not.
Okay, that might be the thing that I would add in that would help with the kidney issue, it would help with the arthritis, and it wouldn't interfere with the blood sugar levels, because you do have to be careful, kind of, you know, thinking about a glucosamine chondroitin supplement could potentially upset that balance if you kind of have her regulated right now. So okay. I would think about adding in either a salmon oil or a krill oil or one of those fish oil supplements and see how far that gets you with helping with the arthritis. The other thing that I find very helpful for older cats is to have an infrared light for them. And you can put that over a bed and they can choose to lie under it or not. But that infrared light is very healing, like what we were talking about before, for the inflammation that's associated with the arthritis, and it's not going to interfere with the, you know, with kind of the chronic diabetes or the renal issue.
Hmm. We'll probably have to do the also in infrared because she sleeps all over.
Oh, yeah. It's interesting to see if you do get, and you can get one of those infrared lights that is designed for reptiles, one of those basking lights, a 50-watt light. You can order them online and put that in just a standard, you know, kind of a gooseneck lamp and put that over a bed. And then you can just see if she chooses to lie under it or not, if she chooses different spots.
Okay. We do have her on Acidil for the renal failure.
Oh, great.
We have her on Glargine for the insulin. So the fish oil is not going to have an issue with that, right?
Yeah, no, not at all.
All right.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for the information. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Mike, for calling. And Monica in Waukesha, thank you for calling. Hello.
Yes. Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I am calling because I have a 5-year-old Shih Tzu that has great separation anxiety. He gets very upset before we leave, and he salivates quite a lot while we are gone. And I'm wondering two questions: if a grain-free diet could help with that, and if we should consider rice as a grain, or if rice is okay, and also if there is any other thing that you would recommend for him.
This is a very, very common issue. And I really think, I mean, there is no specific evidence that supports a grain-free diet is going to help with anxiety, but it certainly has an effect on, any possible inflammation. And I have seen dogs that have anxiety issues do better on a grain-free diet. So I think it's a good idea. And, you know, using rice as the source of carbohydrate, that is okay. A couple of really good grain-free brands that I recommend, one of them is called Fromm's, and Fromm's food is made here in Wisconsin, so that's kind of a nice thing. It's more of a local company. They've been around for a really long time. They make very good, high-quality grain-free foods. So that might be something to look into, whether you do the dried food or if you do the canned food.
Okay.
And
any other...
Yeah, the other thing that you could, there are a couple of different supplements that you could try. And usually with anxiety issues in animals, it's trial and error. So you're kind of going through some different things and seeing if you can find one that really makes a difference for your pet. So one of the first ones that I like to try and recommend is called valerian root. And valerian root is very calming without being sedating for animals. So you could get valerian root in an herbal tincture that you can get over the counter, or you can order it online. There is a very good animal herbal company, and it's called Animal Essentials. They make herbal tinctures for animals that are preserved with glycerin. So they're a little bit sweet. They're pretty easy to get animals to take. But they have one that's called Tranquility Blend. And Tranquility Blend has valerian root in it. It has chamomile. It has passion flower. Some of those herbs that are very, very calming for animals. So that might be a place to start. Try some valerian root and see. Getting that on board, you know, doing it twice a day, planning on doing it for a couple of weeks before you make the decision if it's working or not. But, you know, with all of those herbals, they're not so fast acting like we're used to with the conventional medications. Mm-hmm. So you do have to give them a little bit of time.
There we go. Mm-hmm. Good luck. Thank you. Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And Marcus in Green Bay up next. Hi, Marcus. Thanks for calling.
Hello, Larry, and thanks for all these pet shows that you've had over the years. I have a 12-year-old ragdoll boy cat, and he's getting up there, and he's gaining weight. So he's eating Iams dry food all his life, and I switched over to sensitive stomach, and he's gaining weight. Should I be – I'm listening to your guest, and should I be giving him something for that? And then the other thing is we take walks daily around the apartment complex, and he's getting pretty sore, and he pretty much lays down, so maybe it is arthritis or something.
Mm-hmm.
So could you redo that thing about the arthritis stuff? So thank you.
All right.
Yeah, definitely. I think it would be worth potentially switching foods. And for a 12-year-old cat, this might be a little bit of a challenge because they get very used to what they have been eating. But it would be worth trying, even just mixing in a little bit at a time and making a slow transition to possibly a grain-free cat food that could help with any stomach issues, which could be also be the sign of a food allergy. So it might be worth switching to a different type of protein along with going to a grain-free food. And some of those novel types of protein would be, you know, rabbit, venison, fish, something that your cat might not be used to getting with the Iams food.
Mm-hmm. There we go. Good luck. Thank you for calling. And Mary in Linden Station has something for us. Hi, Mary.
Hi. My dog carried a dead raccoon in and left it on my living room floor the other day, and I was telling a friend about it this morning, and she said that a friend of hers, her dog got into a fight with a raccoon, and she took the dog to the vet, and the vet told her that the dog then couldn't lift its hind legs. And she said the dog had a disease that had contracted from that raccoon and that it would either live within 2 weeks, it would either live or it would die. Mm. And I've never heard of anything like that before. Is there some new raccoon disease?
I haven't heard of any.
Boy, you know, unless it was where if the dog got into it with the raccoon and the raccoon potentially, you know, bit the dog in a place that could cause that paralysis, I am not familiar with that specific type of disease that the dog could get that would cause those symptoms that she was seeing.
Well, the dog's face was damaged is where the damage was, but according to her, but I questioned it too. But okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks for calling. That's a mystery one. Tom and Stevens Point, your turn now. Hi, Tom. Thanks for calling.
Well, thank you. Say, my question is the dosage per pound for glucosamine chondroitin. I've got two dogs that show signs of arthritis, a 26-pound Jack Russell and an 84-pound Labrador, and I currently have them both on glucosamine. I was wondering what dosage the doctor recommended.
Oh, you know, and typically if you have a supplement that is made for dogs, you can follow the guidelines that they have on the bag or on the bottle of glucosamine supplement. I don't have that information right with me right now. But you can also do, and some people do a glucosamine chondroitin human formula that you might take, and you can also give that to dogs, and you just kind of titrate it down to whatever the weight of the dog is, kind of basing it off the typical human weight for dogs. So I often just recommend following the package directions on dosage.
Yeah, there we go. Thanks for calling. And Mike in Madison, on to you now. Hi, Mike.
Good afternoon. So I've heard a lot of talk about allergies in the dogs and pets and so forth. Mine as well has some severe allergies. She actually has mast cell tumors, and they're histamine-based tumors that grow daily based on how much pollen and stuff there is in the air. Actually, her tumors go from anywhere from marble size to golf ball size back and forth, depending upon how much allergens are in the air. And so my vet currently has her on Benadryl, but she gets her, it makes her really, what would be the proper word? She's kind of like past sleep, like beyond sleepy, sluggish,
woozy
from the Benadryl. And I was wondering if there is a holistic counterpart to Benadryl.
Yes, there is a natural antihistamine, and it is called quercetin. And you can get this over-the-counter. Quercetin helps the body to stop the histamine response. So it certainly would be beneficial for any dog that has allergies and any dog that is prone to getting mast cell growths.
So how's that spelled?
Quercetin, Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N. So, yeah, quercetin. And oftentimes, quercetin comes in a combination with an enzyme called bromelain. So you will find quercetin slash bromelain as a supplement. And this you can get, again, at health food stores, at the co-ops. You'll see quercetin for natural allergy relief. So that's something that you could give that's not going, that's going to have the same effect as the Benadryl, but is not going to cause the sleepiness and the sedation that you might see with Benadryl.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And again, does this take a time to catch on?
Right, exactly. So I would not, you know, I guess I wouldn't recommend stopping the Benadryl and starting the quercetin right away, but having some crossover.
Okay.
Where you can decrease the dosage of Benadryl while you start the quercetin and do a transition over about a week or 2 weeks.
Okay, there we go. Good luck, Mike. Thank you very much for calling. Dr. Carrie Donahue, our guest today of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care in Madison. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Taking a look at your pet's health today with Dr. Carrie Donahue, who practices holistic and traditional veterinary care in her business, Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care. Great to have her along, and we have, I think we've got a link to your site on our Facebook page.
Oh, okay.
But what is it?
It is fullcirclepet.com.
Fullcirclepet.com.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew in Stevens Point up next. Hi, Andrew.
Hi. So I have a rabbit. She's about four and a half, 5 years old, and she's a purebred English Spot. And she's healthy, but I'm wondering how to keep her that way as she gets older. I was wondering if you guys had any ideas.
Well, that's a very good question. Rabbits are really not my forte. I see typically dogs and cats. So the exotic mammals, the small mammals, not something that I have a whole lot of experience with in treating holistically. I do know that older rabbits, what I have seen in practice, oftentimes people will bring rabbits into me to have their teeth trimmed or their nails trimmed. That's something, as rabbits get older and they might not chew as much on, you know, some of the treats and things that you give them, or they might chew differently, so they might need their teeth trimmed. That would be something to really keep an eye on, because that can get out of hand very quickly, because their teeth continue to grow, and if they're not chewing constantly, they can, you know, overgrow, and then that can cause a lot of problems. So just kind of doing your own maintenance, checking the rabbit's teeth, checking all over for anything that might be abnormal, and then taking them into a veterinarian that does specialize in small mammals would be a wonderful idea.
All right. There we go. Thanks a lot, Andrew. Judy in Crown Point, Indiana, your turn. Hi. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Larry, for another really great informational program. Your guest is so knowledgeable and so empathetic. That's why I called. I happen to have the best 10-year-old chocolate in the world. We moved to a 30-acre lake home, and this is the first summer, and oh, she smells worse than I have ever smelled a dog before. I'm wondering how often is too much to bathe her, and some other anything, either taken internally. You mentioned some wonderful enzyme things, and just anything that would help me. It smells worse when her anal glands.
Oh, no. That's pretty bad.
I've had a farm.
Does she get in the pond a lot?
She's in the pond all the time.
Oh, okay.
It's her and my, you know, it's the best thing that happened to us except for the smell.
Oh, boy. Oh. Yeah, that's tough. I would say, and really, as far as bathing goes, as long as you're using a gentle shampoo and not a medicated shampoo, you're fine doing that once every couple of days, and maybe just a water rinse every day whenever she comes out of the pond. You can also do an apple cider vinegar rinse. And keeping that on hand, you can make a bucket and do 50% apple cider vinegar, 50% water, or even 25% vinegar and 75% water, and use that just kind of as a rinse when she comes up from being in the swamp or in the pond to get any of that off of her.
That's excellent and so holistic. Thank you so much.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Thanks a lot for calling. And, you know, that's relatively inexpensive, too.
Right, yeah. And a lot of the, you know, the so-called holistic and natural treatments, they are things that people can do at home, and they don't have to spend a lot of money on them. So apple cider vinegar, even doing coconut oil, adding that in with the food is just a nice overall treatment for skin health and just kind of a superfood supplement, something that a lot of people are into these days and taking for themselves. Mm-hmm. Well, dogs and cats also benefit from coconut oil.
Craig in Stoddard up next. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Larry. Hello to your guest. The reason I called was regarding my Labrador Retriever. She's 11 and she has 6 or 7 fatty tumors, including one giant one now growing between her front legs on her chest.
Oh.
I was wondering if there's any way beyond surgery that, you know, we could medicate or whatever to relieve some of that.
Boy, that is another really difficult thing, that there is not one treatment that I have found that consistently works for shrinking those lipomas or those fatty tumors. Uh-huh. But there are a couple of things that you could try. And this kind of going back again, making sure that the diet is grain-free and kind of a limited ingredient and whole food ingredients can really help prevent those from growing or for it, uh-huh, from new ones from developing. There is a supplement that I will often recommend to people, and it is, I believe it's called Lipotropic.
Lipotropic, okay.
Yeah, and it is made by the company Doctor's Best. You could, if you Google Doctor's Best Lipotropic, I'm sure you would find it. And what that has in some ingredients, some natural ingredients that help with the fat burning process. Mm-hmm. So that can really help shrink down those tumors. I've never seen it completely resolve them, but it, for those dogs, and unfortunately it happens where they do grow kind of under the armpit or on the chest, where it kind of impedes their movement, that's when it's worth trying something like that to see if you could at least shrink it down a little bit or stop it from getting any bigger.
All right.
Well, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Mike in the Twin Cities, it is your turn. Thanks for calling, Mike.
Hi, Larry. Hello, Dr. Donahue. How are you today?
Good.
Good. My girlfriend and I have a couple of dogs that are now almost 9 years old, and one of the health issues that we try to be aware of with them is good dental care. We try to brush their teeth with some regularity. And we were wondering whether there might be any supplements or things of that sort that might be helpful in preventing, you know, plaque buildup and things of that sort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are a couple of them out there. One of the most common supplements that I use for keeping the teeth clean is made by the company called Vets Life, and it's an enzyme formula. So you can either apply that directly to the dog or the cat's teeth, or you can put it in with the food, and it does have a similar effect because the enzymes get in there and they mix with the saliva and they help to prevent the tartar or the plaque from building up. There is another supplement that they also recommend that I've had some good success with, and it is made by the company Wysong, and it's called Denta Treat. And this is another enzyme formula. It's kind of like a dairy-based powder that you sprinkle on the food, and that can also really help. So a couple of ideas that might be beneficial.
Good. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Thanks. Would you use both?
I wouldn't use both. No, I think you could use one or the other.
Okay, there we go. Ralph and Waupun, on to you now. Thanks for calling.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm just calling on behalf of that lady that called for her friend.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a veterinarian from Waupun.
Oh.
I'm a cow doctor.
Okay.
And, it just popped into my head. I think that lady that called with her friend's dog that is weak in the hind limbs has coonhound paralysis.
Coonhound paralysis.
Yep, and it's a condition that they're not quite sure what causes it, but 2 to 4 weeks after the initial signs, they should start gaining strength back in there. It causes an autoimmune reaction, and usually some non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs should help with clear that up faster also.
All right. Mm,
thank you so much. Yeah, now that's coming back to me. Yes, thank you.
It just came back. You know, it's just one of those things that just clicked.
Exactly.
Something back in my veterinary board exam.
Right. I know, isn't it? You learn so much, and it's one of those things that, boy, I've never seen that, but thank you so much. That does happen.
Yeah, there we go.
You bet.
Yeah, thanks, Ralph. Appreciate the call. Ralph and Waupun, you can join in too, 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Chris from Wisconsin Dells wondered about whether it was too late to shave her Spitz fur for the summer. You don't usually, do you recommend shaving?
Oftentimes I don't recommend shaving dogs in the summer, unless you've done it in the past and it does seem to make a difference. But what I have found is that dogs that do have a lot of fur, thick fur, is it actually does kind of insulate them from the heat of the sun. So it does kind of have some cooling properties. So I really don't often recommend shaving dogs down, because then I just feel like it makes them more prone to the heat and the sunlight getting directly onto their skin.
Stella in Sturgeon Bay, thank you for calling.
Hi. We have a couple kitties and that we adopted at 3 months, and they were orphaned at 3 weeks, bottle-fed until they could eat on their own, and then taken to the Humane Society. And ever since we adopted them, the female, every approximately three or four days, has really soft stools. I mean, approximately every 3 or 4 days, she has diarrhea.
Mm.
And then in between, she has very softly formed stools that just kind of meld into a lump.
Mm-hmm.
And we give them, we feed them Weisong Epigen, which is a starch-free, high-quality kibble.
Mm-hmm.
And we also give them supplements, which we mix into a Merrick canned food, about five different flavors, rotating, which is also starch-free, grain-free.
Mm-hmm.
And we give, daily, we give them the same probiotic that we take, which is Ultimate 12-12, 12 billion, 12 strain. They get a capsule split between them daily, and an eighth teaspoon each daily of a product called Ambritose, which is a proprietary nutritional supplement that we take.
Okay.
I can give you ingredients if you want, but I'm assuming you don't want to take that much time.
Mm-hmm.
But Jasmine has a passion for vegetables. When we're vegetarians, and when we're preparing food, she'll frequently just be begging for food, and her passions kind of rotate. And currently, they are fresh shell peas from the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And her brother has picked this up also. Right now, we've eliminated any vegetables at all to see if it makes any difference in the stool pattern. And so far, it doesn't seem to have done.
Okay.
We've eliminated, we're not sure, it's maybe 5 days or somewhere between 5 days to a week. And I'm wondering if you have any ideas about the stool pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, about these passions for vegetables since cats are obligate carnivores.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting. Not too common. Have you had a stool sample checked for parasites?
Yes.
Okay, and that came back negative?
Yes.
Okay, that's always a good place to start because you never know. And parasites can cause, you know, worms, that sort of thing, can cause the fluctuating diarrhea, soft stool, comes and goes. So that's good that you were able to rule that out. And I think you're doing the right thing just kind of by backing off and simplifying everything. So taking out anything that could potentially be contributing to the diarrhea, and I would take out all the supplements.
Mm-hmm.
And just stick to a very basic, you know, if you just did the kibble and do that for a week and just see where that gets you, and then you can add back in the probiotics and then add back in the canned food. That Merrick's canned food that you're feeding is a wonderful food, but it's very rich. So some animals, you know, it's could be a little bit too rich for them. So maybe just backing off on everything and adding things in one at a time. Hopefully that helps. There is another, an herbal that I use for any GI issues, and that is called slippery elm. And slippery elm can be made up. You add 1 teaspoon to a hot cup of water, just make it like a tea, and you can add that in with the food. And that kind of helps to regulate the GI tract. So
there we go. Good luck, Stella. Thanks so much for calling. Visiting today with Dr. Carrie Donahue of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care in Madison. She'll be with us right up till 12:30. We'll take a quick look at the news, and then we'll be right back. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, taking a look at your pet's health today with Dr. Carrie Donahue. She's the owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care. All of your pets have been doing this summer. Join in with your questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. And Maddie in Green Bay has something for us, and I think it relates to what something we wanted to talk about. So let's go there. Maddie, hi.
Hi. Lyme disease has so many of those symptoms similar to what people have been calling, you know, in humans. And I'm wondering if Lyme disease could be causing those symptoms in the animals too, like even like oversensitivity to food, arthritis, so many things. And it's my understanding from Lyme litter doctors that the problem is that the doctors don't give antibiotics long enough, and then it goes into a chronic stage. And so I'd like your opinion about that.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling.
Yes, I'm so glad you brought that up, because Lyme disease and really any of those tick-borne diseases, including Ehrlichia, Anaplasma, we're seeing more and more in dogs, and Lyme disease especially mimics arthritis. Typically, the big signifier with Lyme disease is your dog is suddenly limping, and often it shows up as what's called a shifting leg lameness. So they might be limping on their right front leg one day and then on their left hind leg the next day, and it kind of shifts around elbow, you know, knee, something like that. So it changes. And but really, any dog that kind of lives in Wisconsin in this area where we see so much Lyme disease, it's always something to have checked out, because it does mimic arthritis in dogs. So, and again, I think there's so much that we don't know about Lyme disease and those tick-borne diseases. And in the human medical world, as well as in the veterinary medical world, we're still learning. How does that bacteria act? If we treat with antibiotics, are we completely clearing it out, or are we causing it to go into a type of dormancy, and then it could potentially flare up again later in life? And that's what we just don't know. My approach to animals that have Lyme disease that have come up positive on some of the tests that we do is to treat with antibiotics, and I typically treat for at least 4 weeks of straight antibiotics if the animal is showing the clinical signs and the symptoms of Lyme disease. But I also support the animal and support their immune system while I am doing the antibiotics. The biggest thing that you can do with any animal that's taking antibiotics is to give probiotics. So you can give probiotics while you are doing the antibiotics, maybe later on in the day, and then continue for at least a month after you finish the antibiotics, because the antibiotics will go in and wipe out all the bacteria in the body, the beneficial and the not beneficial bacteria. So the probiotics will go in and populate the intestinal tract with the good bacteria. There is an herbal that is called Japanese knotweed, and Japanese knotweed is the herbal treatment for Lyme disease. So this is always a good one to add in with any dog that has really any tick-borne disease, including Ehrlichia and Anaplasma, to give the Japanese knotweed to help support their body in beating that infection. So you can get Japanese knotweed in a variety of forms. How I use it is in a tablet, and I get it from a company called MediHerb, and the supplement is called Herba Vital, and it has Japanese knotweed in it. It also has ginkgo, and it has ginseng, and it has milk thistle in it, which helps to support the liver function and everything, support the immune system in the animal. So kind of a multi-system approach to Lyme disease in animals.
There we go. Thanks so much for that question. Kevin in Chicago, Illinois, up next. Hi, Kevin. Thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you. I have a 5-year-old Vizsla that I originally thought had some sort of tick disease, but he's been diagnosed with a fungal, a blastomycosis, and it's just been devastating. And it's attacked his eye, so he's blind in one eye. And it's, I'm guessing the medication he's on, an antifungal, and prednisone is just causing all sorts of problems. Do you have any, and a vet told me it's a marathon, not a sprint with this disease. Do you have any comments to help through this marathon?
Boy, I would say, and I wouldn't change, I mean, I think those medications are so important because this is, it's such a serious illness. So treating with those medications, which are heavy duty, if there is anything that you can do to help support his own immune system response, to work with the medications to help get rid of the fungus. So what I would do, you know, kind of going back to the food again, doing as much fresh food as you can, eliminating any of the grains in the body that might be, any grains in the food that might be contributing to inflammation, feeding fresh food. If you might be interested in even home cooking, that would be a step beyond the conventional foods that are out there. It would be making food for him, because then you could eliminate all of the preservatives, all of the fillers that his body doesn't need, and just give him the nutrients that his body can use the best.
Where would he go for a good recipe?
Yeah, that would be something where if you could contact a veterinarian who is trained in nutrition and guiding people in homemade diets, that's the way to go. There is a really great website, and it's based off of a book that's called Home Prepared Dog and Cat Diets. If you Google that, you will be taken to the website that is, I think it's called Home Prepared Dog Cat .com, something like that. But they, it was written by a veterinarian, and it gives you ideas on how to prepare your own food for your pets.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. Good.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
good
you.
Luck. Thanks a lot, Kevin. Sarah in Sheboygan, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I was wondering, is there any homeopathic remedy for fleas? Because they seem to come back all the time. And I have cats and I have a dog, and I've been using, you know, the, like, Frontline.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering, I hate to put that chemical on their bodies, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm just wondering if there is anything, because they, it just seems like they're, the fleas are becoming immune to whatever medication you use.
Right. Yeah. And no, and that is something that I have noticed too in my practice, is that some of those flea and tick preventatives that we've been using for a long time, like Frontline, tend to not be as effective as they used to be. So if you're using something like that and you're still finding fleas or you're still finding ticks on your pet, it might be worth trying something else. And the options as far as that goes would be moving to a different type of one of those chemical treatments like Frontline. There is Vectra, there is Advantix, so maybe something else. And I usually recommend that if your pet does have a flea infestation, using something like that just to get rid of them, because the natural treatments that are out there, they're great at preventing fleas and ticks from jumping on the animal, but if you already have an infestation, sometimes you need to pull out the big guns and use something stronger. So, but the best natural treatment that I have found for fleas and for ticks is a cedar oil based spray. And the company that makes the product that I use is called Wonderside, and it's WONDERCIDE, Wonderside. And they have a cedar oil spray. You spray it on your pets. They have an environmental formula that you can use in your house, that you can use on your yard. It's very effective at preventing the fleas and ticks in the first place.
And would you, you know, things like the blanket or the pillows and all that the animals are residing on is probably important to make sure those are cleaned. Or...
Oh, definitely. If your animal has fleas, you just have to kind of hit it hard, wash everything, vacuum everything. You know, treat absolutely everything, because all it takes is one or two fleas to lead to an infestation. So you have to treat everything. And this, the heat of summer, this is when they're out. You know, they're in the grass. They're in places that you might not have any control over. But, yeah, keeping them out of your home is the key.
There we go.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. We have... Judith in Milwaukee up next. Hi, Judith.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
Okay, first I want to comment. Extremely interesting show here, Larry.
Thank you.
Okay, what I called about is somebody called with a small animal that was separation anxiety.
Yeah.
And has the doctor considered a thunder vest?
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. And that's one of those things where it's certainly worth trying. It might make a difference. It might not make a difference. But one of those kind of trial and error approaches, the thunder vest is a great thing to try for animals. The nice thing is you can make your own so-called anxiety wrap. And so you don't have to go out and buy a thunder shirt or a thunder vest. But, you know, a lot of places will let you try one out on your animal to see if they'll tolerate it. But you can also look up online, type in anxiety wrap, and learn how to make your own. You can just get some of that stretchy fleece material and kind of wrap your animal with it, because the idea is to make them feel secure and kind of swaddle them. So, yeah, certainly a good idea. Worth trying.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. We have Cecilia in Janesville posted on Facebook to say that she adopted a cat who is deaf, about a year old. Any suggestions on how to train him?
Oh, that's a good question. Wow, good for you on adopting a cat that has deafness. That, you know, they lead absolutely full and complete lives, and they adapt so well to something like that, not being able to hear. And I think really kind of following your cat's cues, and they are going to be able to adapt to everything that you do. I mean, you can maybe work with a behaviorist to find some things that you would be able to use for your cat, some signals that you might be able to work with to communicate better. But really, I think your cat is going to do a lot of the work for you, and they're going to adapt to your lifestyle and figure out how they can get along with no problem.
Dr. Patricia McConnell has a blog and a website, and I think there's conversations on there that may relate to animals with deafness.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'm pretty sure of it.
So, I'm sure of that, yes.
So, Dr. Patricia McConnell, if you type her name in, you're going to find lots of things on her there, and you can go to her blog and post a note on her blog, if nothing else, or just read the blog, and you'll find out. We have, see, Audrey in Kenosha up next. Audrey, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I have a question. We have a border collie that has collie nose. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. And it's kind of like the nostril gets some kind of growth on the outside. And it started closing off her nostril. So we've been keeping tabs on that. And the veterinarian was watching it also. And it spread to her second nostril, which basically closed off her breathing passage. So we took her back to the vet. And he gave us an antibiotic for that, an anti-nausea pill, and then told us to give her Pepcid AC so she doesn't get sick from the antibiotic. Mm. And that was last Tuesday. And we've noticed that since then she has gotten very lethargic. She has she's kind of went downhill where she is, I have to force feed her to eat. I have to, like, within the last week, she's eaten basically a few little pieces of lunch meat, which then she will spit up and throw up. And she will throw up, like, bile with that. So we've been trying to give her different things. And I was able to give her this morning probably a knuckle-sized piece of hot dog with the antibiotic or with the anti-nausea pill in there first. But that's about all she is eating. And we've called emergency vets on Saturday, and they said that they were extremely, extremely busy because she's actually losing, she's so weak, she's kind of like, it's very hard for her to stand up and get up. And when she does get up, sometimes I have to pick her up, but she will not go upstairs or downstairs. We have to carry her now. So the emergency vet said it may sound like pneumonia, but they were so extremely busy. They said to just monitor her, don't give her any food or water over Saturday night, and see how she's doing, and then call them if she was any worse in the morning. And so yesterday we were working outside of our house, so we had her outside all day, and she will drink ice cold water, and I was able to give her a few more pieces of hot dog, and we actually have a veterinarian appointment later this afternoon to get her back in, but we're just kind of trying to figure out, if you know of anything out there, because I know somebody was saying that the disease that they can get from wild animals like raccoons or things going through the yard. If this may sound like something like that.
How old is your dog again?
She's 12 years old, and as of up until last week, Tuesday, she was wonderful. She loves meeting people. She'll go up to people and wag her tail, and just she's a very outgoing dog, for a border collie. And it's just like this last week, she's I don't want to say losing her mobility, but she's.
Yeah, she is.
Well, I'm so glad that you have an appointment later on today with your veterinarian, because doing some x-rays, that's going to allow them to take a look in the chest cavity, in the lungs, see if it looks like there is pneumonia, see if there is potentially a fungal infection like that, blastomycosis, something like that, that might need to be treated differently. And there are other options besides oral antibiotics. They might think, IV antibiotics or injectable antibiotics, something like that, that might bypass the GI tract, that would be easier to get into your dog, that would not cause that stomach upset. And it's hard to say if that's contributing to, not wanting to eat, or if it's something else going on. That's what I just don't know. Going into the vet and having them make a full evaluation is the best thing to do.
Yeah, good luck. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Dawn posted on Facebook to ask if you recommend probiotics for pets, and you do you not?
I do. I always recommend. I think any animal, dog or cat, including us humans, can benefit from probiotics in the diet. And you can get specific probiotics that are made for dogs and cats. You can also give dogs or cats probiotics that are made for humans. If you take them, it's easy to give them to your dog. So you could do it that way. The other thing that you could do is add in some plain yogurt that also has probiotics. So there are different ways that you can do it. And whatever is the easiest way for you, easiest way to get it into your pet, I say do it because they're going to benefit.
Amber from Thanesville emailed to say, she has a geriatric dog with fairly significant arthritis. Less willing to eat on some days are white potatoes or the oats and Cheerios, poor grain choices for her dog.
Oh, that's a good question. And typically with the grains, the reason that I say staying away from the wheat and the corn and the soy is because those are the ingredients and the grains that are in most conventional commercial foods. So it's something that your dog or cat has probably, if they've been fed a commercial diet, has eaten every single day of their life. And what can happen as they get older is that their body and their immune system starts to have a reaction to the things that they have been getting every day, and then that can cause the inflammation. If you are feeding white potatoes, the oats typically don't have the same inflammatory response. They might at some point if you feed them over and over, but certainly as something to get your dog to eat, that's completely fine.
Sue posted on Facebook to ask what to do about a dog that digs a lot of holes in search for worms.
Oh, that's an interesting one. I have not heard that before, of a dog digging for worms. So, yeah, I'm not sure what to do besides distracting them. Sometimes dogs will, and I see this with dogs, that they just want to eat dirt. They just want to eat something. They're digging. They're trying to get things. And that can be the sign of a deficiency in their diet. So it might be worth adding, you know, even adding in some digestive enzymes can kind of help their whole process. Beyond that, I'm not sure what you can do about the digging for worms. That's a problem.
Another person has two cats that are young cats that are, they want food all the time. And she has to lock her drawers up and they figured out how to open the refrigerator.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I know. That's another one. I mean, sometimes is that more of a behavioral thing? It could be, where they just get into this and they feel like they're ravenous and they want to eat all the time. But again, maybe worth changing things up with the diet, adding some probiotics, the digestive enzymes in there, trying to get that GI tract balanced. If it's out of balance, you never know what effect it might have. And usually it's always a positive effect on your animal, whether it's a behavioral or more of a medical issue.
And talk about your website.
Oh, it's fullcirclepet.com. And on there, I talk about what holistic treatments I provide. I talk about acupuncture and using herbs and homeopathic remedies and all those sorts of things that I offer in my practice, and a little bit of information so people know what they might be looking at if they make an appointment with me and what types of appointments. I do a lot of alternative cancer care because cancer is on the rise in animals. So many dogs and cats are developing cancer at younger ages. So I provide an alternative or an integrative approach. That's a big part of, I talk about that on my website and part of what I do.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you come by, Carrie. Thank you so much for being with us today. Dr. Carrie Donahue owns Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care. And we have a link. You put her name in or put Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care, and it's going to pop up on your website, on your search engine for sure. Great to have her, and we'll have her back again. And thank you so much for listening. I'm sorry we didn't get to everybody, but that's the way it always works. Lots more in store here. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.